As Africa prepares for coronavirus impact, will debt payment delays offer enough economic relief? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Officials from the G20 group of major economies will decide today whether to support an agreement to suspend debt payments from some of the world's poorest countries. The plan is meant to help vulnerable nations deal with the coronavirus pandemic, as the BBC's Matthew Davis reports.
The whole issue of debt relief for poor countries has emerged in the past week. The IMF said on Tuesday that it will suspend interest payments on loans to 25 countries, 19 of which are in Africa. French President Emmanuel Macron said a plan to suspend debt service payments would be endorsed by the G7 if the wider G20 agreed to do it as well. However, all these positive gestures gloss over one important fact. The debt landscape has changed significantly since the IMF set up a program to relieve heavily indebted poorer countries of their obligations in the late 1990s. Back then, the lion's share of lending came from multinational institutions and from individual industrialized countries. Nowadays, around a third comes from private lenders, a fact that's illustrated by the steep rise in Eurobond issues made by various African governments in the last 10 years. And just how willing private lenders are to give African states their own mortgage holidays is unclear at the moment. I'm the BBC's Matthew Davis for Marketplace.
Well, over here in Europe, to ease economic pressure, countries this week have begun to reopen slivers of their countries. Denmark today is reopening schools, and German officials will meet to explore their options. But let's check in on Spain, which on Monday allowed construction and manufacturing workers back on the job. From the country's capital, the BBC's Guy Hedgeco explains how that's working.
There is some more traffic. There are more people using public transport, and police have been out the last couple of days handing out face masks. They got 10 million face masks to hand out at bus stations, rail stations, to people who are coming back to work. But the streets in general are still very quiet. This is not the normal Spain that you would know from a few months back.
Is there a timeline for when restrictions will be further eased in Spain?
No, there isn't. And the government has been trying to play down the drama of this, or the extent of the lifting of these restrictions, saying that this is just one area of the economy, and the rest of the national lockdown, which has been in place for just over 4 weeks, that is still in place and is still being very tightly policed. Just over 500,000 people have been sanctioned for flouting the terms of the lockdown.
And the biggest part of this is the economic repercussions these lockdowns are having on economies. Does Spain have a plan in place yet for how to deal with the steep economic costs of the lockdown?
Quite early on in this crisis, the government presented a 200 billion euro plan to try and counter the immediate impact. But the feeling is that the economic impact is going to be enormous. Memories are very fresh of the last economic crisis, the Eurozone crisis, and Spain was one of the hardest hit countries after Greece. The government, I think, is desperate to try and mitigate the impact of this economic crisis, but we don't have a full plan drawn up yet.
The BBC's Guy Hedgeco in Madrid. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Victoria.
Despite efforts to reopen economies around the world, the International Energy Agency today said even if travel restrictions are lifted, oil demand will see a record drop of more than 9 million barrels a day this year. That's sending Brent crude down more than 5%. During lockdowns, many children still go to school when their parents, often frontline workers, go to work. But who cooks school meals when chefs are ill or self-isolating? As the BBC's Fergus Nicol reports, a famed London hotel has been lending a hand.
Over in East London, something tasty is afoot at Manorfield Primary School, which has stayed open despite the lockdown for vulnerable children and children of essential workers. The school also has a big community outreach programme. Their regular school canteen team have been boosted by a couple of chefs from the Dorchester Hotel in Mayfair. Paul Jackson's the head teacher.
Our catering providers began to have some difficulties. They were no longer able to pay their staff, and also several members of staff also had underlying health conditions. So I was racking my brains and thinking of the various connections that I've got. And over the last 8 to 9 months, we've been having some very, very interesting conversations with, believe it or not, the Dorchester Hotel, where the Dorchester have been very, very interested in looking at how they might support us as a school. So I picked up the phone, made the request, and lo and behold, on Monday, we received two chefs from the Dorchester to come and run our kitchens for us.
Our thanks to Paul Jackson, who, after completing that interview, rushed through the school to the kitchen to put us on with one of those Dorchester specialists.
My name is Mickey Chan. I'm from Canada. Today we have bean and cheese burritos, and it's an aubergine stew called caponata. So it's not too different than cooking for adults, especially here at this school where the children's palates are really well educated.
Take us through the preparation. How much time are you going to take to get that to the waiting diners?
Well, the children come in for lunch at 12 sharp, and they're lined up usually at 5:02 waiting.
Any other recipes you can share with us as you look forward to the rest of the week?
I do a lot of vegetarian vegan here, which is surprisingly very popular with the students and the teachers. But this week I'm doing Southern Fried Chicken, thanks to a generous donation through KFC, who donated a lot of chicken to us. We're educating them too on the different things you can do, like food art. I did fruit carving for them.
Sounds like you're keeping them extremely happy with lunch.
We are trying.
That's Mickey Chan talking to Fergus Nicol there. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.